Their courage will astound you. Their stories will move you. Their faith will inspire you.
Welcome to Great Stories About Great Saints on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Well, it's so good to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. And I'll take a few of your calls today. I do want to talk about the Sacred Heart Devotion and its connection also to Divine Mercy. And love to hear from you. You are welcome to join me anytime. You know that, right? The number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let me do that now, too. Before we go too far, let me grab a quick call because I know Barbara's been waiting to join us in Passaic, New Jersey. Hey, Barbara, good afternoon.
Hi. Barbara from Passaic, New Jersey. Back in the mid-1980s, I was talking to my friend's grandmother. Her real name, it was her married name, was Maria Castiglia. We called her Nana. And she was in her 90s then. And she told me that her parents were from Italy. She was born in New York. And in the late 1890s, there was an economic downturn all over the United States. And her father lost his job, and they had to put her in an orphanage for about a year. And she was totally inconsolable, and the only person who could console her and calm her down was this really old nun, could barely walk, didn't speak any English. Wow. She would sit Nana in her lap, talk to her in Italian, and rock her back and forth for hours. That nun was Mother Cabrini.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What a great story. Yeah. Barbara, thank you for sharing that. Love it. It's a small world, isn't it? Yeah, saints.
Oh, yeah.
Saints, no saints. We brush up against saints all of the time. I'll take a few more of your calls, maybe a little bit later in the show. Let's do this, too. I'd love to hear from you as to who your favorite saint is and why, whether it's St. Anthony of Padua, whether it is perhaps some unknown saint, somebody you were introduced to, saint that came through and rescued you or brought you your spouse. Be kind of fun. We can talk about that coming up. But I do want to give a little attention to a devotion I love. I love the Divine Mercy devotion. And of course, the Sacred Heart devotion goes hand in hand. We're just talking about France. And think about France for a minute. I don't know why I'm pontificating about France, but let me just tell you this. Because I think about Catholic devotions. God must love this country in a special way. You have the miraculous medal that came from France, right? You've got Our Lady of Lourdes, the site of more healings, documented healings anywhere else on the planet. Our Lady of La Salette, Our Lady of Lourdes, the Holy Face, right? There are people that spend time before the Blessed Sacrament there. You've got the Sacred Heart devotion. There are incorruptibles. I mean, this is an amazing place. And it's not because God favors France, you know, any more than anything else. Maybe France desperately needs these signs, right? You know, maybe that's it. Maybe Europe at the time needed that type of divine intervention. The Lord is merciful, and He reaches out to us across the centuries, over and over again. And He has risen, He's raised up great saints, you know, across the centuries. I don't care what era you're in, what century you're in, you will see the rise of saints and martyrs, right? And today, I think we live in a special time. But I'll bring it back to France for a minute, because I do think there's an interesting story to be told. One of the greatest devotions to come from France is the devotion of the Sacred Heart, right? So let's turn the hands of time back. I'll give you a little history. 1673, right? Jesus Christ appears, right? Just as He did to the apostles, as a risen Lord, just as He would do 300 years later, you know, or 250 years later in Poland to St. Faustina. Jesus appears to Margaret Mary Alacoque in France. France at the time, historically, it was at war with the Netherlands at the time. So there's conflict going on. But there was a continuation of a dispute that was started with the so-called Wars of Religion. Starts 200 years before that, or 100 years before that, back in 1562. Those wars started in the wake of the Protestant Reformation. We talked about that yesterday, right? You see what has come out of this revolt against the Church Jesus Christ established, right? So many ripples, so many shockwaves, so much collateral damage. So these wars, they start in the wake of the Protestant Reformation when Lutheranism and Calvinism make their way now into France. Not long after, of course, Luther posted those 95 Theses, and we talked about the anniversary of that yesterday. If you missed it, go back and listen to the broadcast. It was hour one. Good conversation. So it was a time of social upheaval, right? There were, it was time of war, right? There were Protestants and Catholics at one another. Disasters took place, like the same Bartholomew Day massacre that took place during those wars. So while these wars ended back in 1593, their repercussions were still being felt throughout Europe into the late 17th century. And of course, these wars were fought over ideas, right, about religion. That was the pretext. It was really a grab for power. So France was ascending, as a kingdom with the acquisition of New France and the New World, and it was flush with money at the time, but it wasn't flush with devotion to God. So it was in this context, in 1671, that this 24-year-old young woman entered a convent, right? And she was about 230 miles south of Paris. If you ever go there, go. It's an anointed place. I've prayed there many times. It's in the Burgundy area. And this young girl took the name Margaret Mary. Little did she know that her life would ultimately change, right? And not only would she change the convent, but I think she would change the world. 2 years after she entered, Jesus appeared to her. She was given a vision of the Lord in which he let her lay her head on his chest. Can you imagine that? Pretty amazing if you think about that. And what happened as she laid her head on our Lord's chest? She heard the beating of his heart. Never lay on the chest of your parents or somebody you love and you hear that thump, thump, thump. How many people in the world have ever got to hear the beating of Jesus' heart? Ever think about that? She did. And this is what the Lord told her. Jesus told her that he wished that people would know of his incredible love, his deep, great love for us. He said this, and it re-echoes that of Faustina to me. He says his heart burns. It burns with a fire of love for you, for me, for each of us. And he said, yet he's met with ingratitude. He receives ingratitude from the vast majority of people. The Lord loves you. His heart is beating for love of you. It burns with desire to shower you with his grace. And what do? You give him ingratitude. So she ended up going to her superior and confided what happened. And guess what? The superior didn't believe her, right? Like Faustina and Slepolchko too, right? He thought, this girl's crazy. Yeah, she's having visions of Jesus. The mother superior didn't believe her either. Even after Sister Margaret Mary was instantly healed. She had this burning, debilitating fever, and she was in front of the Mother Superior, sick as a dog, instantly healed, right? So it wasn't until the Jesuit priest, Father de la Colombier, was assigned to a parish there in Paray, and he could understand what she was going through. I guess he was given a grace, just like the Lord specifically chose Blessed Sopochko to be Faustina's spiritual director. If it wasn't for him, we would not have divine mercy today at all. You wouldn't have the diary. You wouldn't have the image. If it wasn't for this spiritual director, this father, would we have the divine mercy devotion or the Sacred Heart devotion? I don't know. Her final revelation was when Jesus said this to her. He said, and I'm going to quote him. He says, quote, behold this heart which has so loved men that it has spared nothing, even to exalting and consuming itself in order to testify to its love. In return, I receive from the greater part only ingratitude. By their irreverence and by their sacrilege, by their coldness and their contempt, they have for me in the sacrament irreverence, coldness, and contempt. And what's most painful to me, he says, is that they are hearts consecrated to me. And it wasn't just you and me. Many in consecrated life have given the Lord that cold heart. So what did he do? He then told Mary Margaret Alacoque, he commanded her to work to have a feast established in the church to honor her Sacred Heart. Does that sound familiar? The Lord told St. Faustina, a girl with a third grade education, to work to have a feast established in the church. He told her to have the Feast of Mercy. So think about that. You're in a convent. How are you going to get an official feast put on the church calendar? And I always love that, both with Mary Margaret as well as with Faustina. Why? Because if the Lord calls you to a mission, right? If the Lord in your particular life is asking you to do something, maybe to be a parent, you know, you're thinking, I can't handle this. I'm going to abort the child. Know that the Lord can get you through it, that the Lord has that destiny for you. You know, maybe you're called to establish a pro-life center. Maybe you are called to establish a school. Maybe you're called to become a physician or to run for politics or to do something else. You think, oh, I can never do that. It's beyond my scope. No, it's not. Not with God, it's not. I go back to the Old Testament and I think of a shepherd, right? David in a field tending sheep. And you know, he's to go toe-to-toe with one of the most horrific, fierce warriors of the day, Goliath, one-on-one. Of course, Goliath is laughing at him. He's going to crush this punk, right? But what happened? God was with David, right? God was in control. Those stones in his sling, they were the stones of God, the stones of truth. They took Goliath down. And the Lord can do the same thing with you, whether you are Faustina, you know, with a third grade education or a nun in some convent in France, and the Lord asks you to establish a feast. If the Lord wants it, he'll find a way. If the Lord has a mission for you in life and he wants it, don't say no. Don't give him ingratitude. Say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. You know, I look at where I stand today. I'll personally testify. You know, getting into radio, doing a lot of the things I've done in my life, I thought, not me, Lord, somebody else. I'm not qualified. But the Lord will qualify you, right? He chooses the unqualified, and he ultimately qualifies them. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the expertise. He'll give you the knowledge. He'll give you the skill set. And I think maybe you need to hear that today. Don't limit yourself, right? God's created for you for a great mission and a great destiny. Look at these saints. Do you ever think that they thought they'd be raised to the altars or that they would change the church, that like Mary and Margaret ever thought that the Sacred Heart devotion would be prayed, that there would be churches and schools, you know, named after this? No. But she worked on it. She prayed and she sacrificed. She trusted. It took a few years before it ultimately happened. Keep in mind, St. Margaret Mary, she had visions in 1673, right? Mark that on your calendar. It wasn't until 1859 that the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart was finally established. Think about it. It was almost 200 years, 190 years, 180 years. It was crazy. It was a long time. Blessed Sopochko, who believed that Faustina really had visions of the Lord and worked to advance it. Satan worked, and he shut the Divine Mercy devotion down. Blessed Sopochko never saw the ban on divine mercy overturned. He never saw it. Never. He went to his death. Of course, from the other side, he saw it. So this devotion really is a call. The devotion of the Sacred Heart is a call for us to know the eternal love of Jesus for us. It's the love that he poured out for you on the cross. The power of his love that he showed to St. Margaret Mary. It's not limited to her. It's not limited to Faustina. You can know it as well. You just need to ask. You just need to open your heart to the Lord. And, you know, there's some incredible parallels to this beautiful devotion to the Sacred Heart. And I want to bring a few of those up for you as well. Look, if you have devotion to Sacred Heart, if Mary Margaret Alacoque is one of your favorites, give me a call. I'd love to hear it. Divine Mercy as well. We can certainly do that. And I'm going to open the phones in a few minutes. I'd love to hear your own stories. But let me start in San Antonio, Texas. Alicia is listening to us there. Is it Alicia or Alicia? I'm never sure. Good to have you on the phone with me. Hi, Alicia. Are you with us? Maggie, can you see if she's there? Hi.
Okay. Hi. I was just calling to say it was the Sacred Heart that converted me from Protestantism to Catholicism because when I was a little girl, I went to
You know what? I'm going to call you Alicia because my sister's name's Alicia. I know a lot of people go by Alicia. I'm putting you on hold for just a second, okay? I'm going to see if Maggie can get that, your comment. I really want to hear your story. She says it was the Sacred Heart devotion that converted her from Protestantism to the Catholic faith. I cannot wait to to hear that. So my call screeners can go ahead and check that signal. Love to hear that from you. So we'll go ahead and we'll get into all that. Let me just draw some comparisons here for you as well. And we can talk a little bit about the Sacred Heart and the Divine Mercy. And you can certainly share your story with me too. If you have a Sacred Heart devotion, I know a lot of people have thrown the image in the home. That's been asked. There are great promises with the Sacred Heart. In fact, I should probably share a few of those with you as well, as we're talking about St. Mary Margaret Alacoque. And there's a parallel between the two of those, too. Are we good to go, Maggie? I'll go back and get her quickly. Good to have you back. Is it Alicia or Alicia? I never did get that.
It's Alicia.
All right, good. Just like my sister. Good to have you here, Alicia. So go ahead. You had a powerful conversion as a result of the Sacred Heart devotion?
Yes. My Baptist aunt had bought us the Sacred Heart without knowing it was the Sacred Heart. It's my TV my whole life as a child. It haunted me. I would see it all the time because I was a television kid. And I was very much into movies back in the day with my parents because they were much older. So they grew up during the Great Depression. So I was very much influenced by movies and everything else. One of the movies that influenced me, Great Ten Commandments. And so one day I go with my neighbors who are Catholic. They're across the street. I'm about 6 years old. Maybe five, six, seven, something like that. And I'd already seen the Ten Commandments maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. My first time ever walking to a Catholic church and into that church with them, without me being able to articulate, something said to me, "You are standing on holy ground." Wow. And it never left me.
Wow.
And so by the time I was 21, I converted. I had so many questions. I became a born-again Christian at 13, and then by the time I was 21, my mother and I both converted at the same time.
Wow, praise
to
God.
Catholicism.
That's amazing. So I'm assuming big devotion for you still today, right? Passing it on to your loved ones.
Oh, every day I do the litany to the Sacred Heart, every day. He's my Savior. The best decision I ever made with the grace of the Holy Spirit was to become a Catholic.
Wow.
And because I've become a Catholic, it's made me love being a woman, a wife, and a mother even more.
Oh, how beautiful. What a beautiful, beautiful testimony. Well, I am so glad that you said yes to the grace that God gave you. I have no doubt about that. And that Sacred Heart devotion is such a beautiful one. I love it. And it's funny, I almost feel like it has gotten lost. And in some respects, the Lord has come back and given us a Divine Mercy devotion, which kind of re-echoes that in some respects as well. But love your testimony. Keep spreading that devotion and keep being a witness for the faith. In fact, let's talk a little bit more about that devotion, if we could, because there are a lot of graces that the Lord promised to give. But Maggie, you said, Alicia kind of sparked a story you had in your mind.
Yeah.
What's your story?
I totally forgot about this. I was in Omaha visiting a friend a couple years ago. There's a parish there called St. Margaret Mary's Church. And we went to Mass, and then there's a little tiny adoration chapel to the right of the chapel, and decided to pop in there real quick and pray a chaplet, actually. And the windows there, there's a couple of windows behind the monstrance, and they're clear, except a couple little spots in the window have sort of red tint, red stained glass. As I was praying and opened my eyes, the light was hitting one of those red squares just so that it reflected on the wall right next to the monstrance, and it looked like a beating heart. And the fellow that I was in there with was like, "Oh my gosh, do you see that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've never seen anything like that. It looked like a beating heart, and I'll never forget that."
I think God communicates to us in all sorts of ways, doesn't he? I love that. And we, you know, I don't look for signs, but I think the Lord does give them to you. He certainly will work if you ask him for it.
When you're least expecting it sometimes.
That's for sure. No doubt about it. Well, St. Margaret Mary, of course, known for many, many miracles, those who've turned to her intercession. One of those was a cure for anxiety. So if you're suffering from anxiety, you may want to call upon her as well. What she gave as a prescription for anxiety to anyone who came to her, frequent reception of the Eucharist. And I was so struck when I was reading about her this morning, because I forgot about that. You know, lots of different miracles, I mean, that she performed. She had this gift for reading future events. When she was a young novice, under her direction, had the idea of planting a fruit tree that someday she'd enjoy fruit. But Margaret Mary halted this plan. She goes, "It's not worth your while," she said to this novice, "you know, for you'll not be a religious in this house very long." And it came to pass that novice did leave. She foretold that of the 14 who had joined, only two would become nuns. She was right. And her words became true to the letter that wanted to plant that tree. You know, but it goes on and on. So if somebody came to her and says they're suffering this terrible, you know, anxiety, frequent reception of the Eucharist, I think what a medicine that is for the body, right? It is truly Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And you might be suffering wounds of the heart or anxiety of the mind or depression. You might be suffering ails of the body. I don't think there's anything more powerful. In fact, there is nothing more powerful than that spiritual medicine, that spiritual food that our Lord, when you receive the Eucharist. So she prescribed this, and the person who began going to daily Mass suddenly found relief from what had plagued them. But you need to also bear in mind Mary Margaret Mary's patron saint of polio. She was canonized in the 1920s. Think about how long it took. May 13th, Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, 1920, 3 years after those visions started, on the heel of a huge polio outbreak in the United States. And there was a person who shared their testimony of a very elderly woman who had fanatic devotion to St. Mary Margaret Mary. You know, when she was a child, she was directly afflicted by polio, and she prayed to Margaret Mary, and because her child had come down with polio. The child was completely healed. And if you know polio, it baffled doctors, right? This was not a disease you would be cured of. And the little ones went on to have incredible health. And she ultimately, you know, would come out later and share the grace that the family has been given. She felt an obligation to go ahead and to do that. But Margaret Mary was known for such powerful, powerful intercession. Just amazing, the things that took place for her. I could tell you more, but I want to share a little bit with you, if I could, also about just about the connection to divine mercy. And I think this is really, this is key. Again, as I said, I think the Lord sometimes gives us devotions, and if they fall into disuse, he somehow comes back and tries to raise awareness to this again, right? No doubt about it. I mean, Margaret Mary had this deep devotion from childhood to the Blessed Sacrament. So did St. Faustina, you know? She got her first communion at age 9, Margaret Mary, and she practiced severe corporal mortifications, harsh penances at 9 years of age, right? Reminds me of these Fatima seers. She actually contracted paralysis that confined her to bed for 4 years. But at the end of that period, she made a vow to the Blessed Mother to consecrate herself to religious life. She was instantly restored to health. And she would ultimately find great comfort in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, she made use of it. And as I shared, she ultimately would use it as a remedy for people who would come with all sorts of other ailments. But the Lord gave her this desire to make known his devotion to his Sacred Heart. And he appointed Friday after the octave of the Feast of Corpus Christi as the Feast of the Sacred Heart. St. Faustina, what's the Feast of Mercy? It's the last Sunday of Easter. It's the octave following Easter, right? That Sunday. And he called her the beloved daughter of his Sacred Heart. He called St. Faustina the secretary of his mercy. He told Mary Margaret Alacoque that she was the heiress of all of these treasures of his Sacred Heart. He says that the Sacred Heart, the love of the Sacred Heart, which was the fire that consumed her, the devotion of the Sacred Heart, is in the refrain of all of her writings. We see these parallels to what happened with St. Faustina. Her tomb was canonically opened on July 1830. Two instances of cures took place. Miraculous cures instantly took place. I believe, I don't know, is she an incorruptible? I'm not sure. Maggie, maybe you can look that up for me. I'm not sure whether she's incorrupt or not, Mary Margaret Mary. But Faustina, the same thing happened, right, at her tomb. We had this great miracle that led to the beatification of St. Faustina. But really, what's most important here really are the promises. And I just want to share this with you, because if you have devotion to the Sacred Heart, if you have it enthroned in your home, there's great promises. If you have the image of Divine Mercy, if you have devotion to Divine Mercy, they're in your home. These two great saints, I think, are sisters, both nuns. And I want to walk you through the two of these things, okay? So I'm going to take a break in a minute here. So I'll share a few of them now. When I come back, I'll share the rest. But then I want to open the phones for you, okay? I want to hear, and you can get online, about a saint maybe you've come across. You know, I mentioned Saint Difna, patron saint of mental disorders and anxiety. Maybe there's some unknown saint that you've come across and you found devotion to. Love to hear about that. Maybe there's a saint that worked miracles in your marriage, or the birth of your child, or the new job, or the finances, or the house. Love to hear it. So you can call 888-914-9149. Maggie, Mary, Margaret, Mary, Margaret. I want to call you Mary. You're Mary, Margaret.
I'm Margaret Mary.
You're Margaret Mary. All right. She's incorrupt?
She's incorrupt, at least from the website that I'm seeing.
You know, I believe it. I'm pretty sure she is. I'm, you know, amazing, these incorruptibles. For those who don't know what that means, she's incorrupt. Okay, she died, right? Centuries ago, and for some reason, God does not allow the decay of death to take the body. But the person quite often looks like they're sleeping, like they died today. You know, their skin in many cases is soft and supple, and they somehow survive the decay of death. They're untouched by it. I think what it comes down to is purity in a lot of these cases. They were pure souls, united in a special way with God. It was God's way of honoring them, right? All right, when we come back, let's talk about it. I'll share with you why you need not only to have the image of Divine Mercy in your home, perhaps the Sacred Heart image. I'll get you some great promises here, and then I'll take your calls. Love to hear the saints you've met. Love to hear who your favorite saint is and why. We'll honor our saints today. Stay with me.
All Saints Day means all saints all day.
Incredible journeys of faith, heroic holiness.
Welcome back to Great Stories About Great Saints on Relevant Radio.
And the Relevant Radio app.
Well, it is good to be here with you today. I'll tell you, I love hanging out with you. And I love celebrating those who've gone before us, those who've lived these lives of heroic virtue. And I'll take a few of your calls, too. I'd love to hear about the saint that you are named after, or why you have devotion, or how the saints have ultimately prevailed, how you feel connected to them. And then I'll share with you a saint I came across who kind of inspires me a little bit. It's kind of a martyr who died for the truth. His story is probably not that well known, but it really talks about how one man can make a difference. And I'll share his story coming up. But right now, if you're just joining me, I promise we talk a little bit about the Sacred Heart devotion and also the Divine Mercy devotion, the connection to them. You know, of the many promises our Lord gave to St. Mary Margaret Alacoque, and I'll throw this out to you in favor of souls who are devoted to His Sacred Heart, the same thing happened to Divine Mercy, right? So let me just share with you some of the Sacred Heart devotions, okay? One of the promises of Margaret Mary Alacoque is this. He said, I will give souls all the graces they need for their state in life. If you have devotion to the Sacred Heart, that's one of the promises, right? And I just think, man, that's you're called to motherhood. You don't think you can handle it. You're called to lead or to teach or to do whatever. You'll get the grace. You're called to be you know, pure in your state in life, you know, you're entering religious life, you have issues with chastity. God will give you the grace, right, in your state in life. What did the Lord tell St. Faustina? Same thing. He says, the graces of my mercy are drawn down by means of one vessel only. That's trust. The more the soul trusts, the more it will receive. So if you put your trust in the Sacred Heart, He'll give you all that's necessary in life. If you put your trust in the merciful heart of our Lord, you're going to receive everything you want, because the more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. The Lord also said, I will give peace in your family. This is a Sacred Heart devotion, right? I will console you in your troubles. Another powerful promise, right? And He also says, I will be your refuge in life and especially in death. And what I love about that is it's the same thing as a Divine Mercy devotion, right? What did the Lord say to St. Faustina? At the hour of death, I will be your merciful Savior, not your just judge, right? He promised anybody who prayed the chaplet, for whom the chaplet is prayed, that the promises would be the same, right? He also said that if you spread devotion to divine mercy, right, he would protect you throughout your life as a tender mother, her infant. But he also gave us promises to what would happen in the next life. He says, those who spread this devotion, in the next life, you will shine with a special brilliance. I often wondered what that meant. I mean, it's one of these mysteries of the afterlife. Do we have a special radiance based on our martyrdoms, on our sacrifices, on our devotion, on our love? The more you love, do you shine all the brighter? And we're not in competition in heaven, but for those who spread devotion to my mercy, you will shine with a special brilliance. I hope that's me. I want to be all shiny when I get to the other side. I want to make it, right? So the Lord says, I will define as my own, I will defend as my own glory the soul that will pray the chapel or when others say it for the person, the pardon is the same. What did he say to St. Margaret Mary? I will be your refuge in life and especially the hour of death. That's the, these two devotions are so intricately linked. I love this too. You have devotion to Sacred Heart. You have your own business. You're trying to advance in your career. You want to have children. What's the promise of the Sacred Heart devotion? Promise number 5, I will abundantly bless all of your undertakings. That's a great promise, right? I will abundantly bless all your undertakings. Same thing in Divine Mercy. I just mentioned it, right? Souls who honor my mercy, I shield through their entire life. The hour of death, I won't be their judge. You'll shine. I'll bless you, right? Sinners who shall find in my heart, the Lord said to St. Margaret, an ocean of mercy. That's right out of the diary, right? What did the Lord say? That no mind, be it human or angelic, will ever be able to fathom the depths of God's mercy and the divine mercy devotion, right? That's what you're going to find. The greater the sinner, the greater the right you have to his mercy. The Sacred Heart devotion, tepid souls shall become fervent. Divine mercy. The one prayer that the Lord says he always hears and answers. And if you've got a child that's away from the faith, if a spouse isn't where they need to be, if there's somebody you're praying for, the Lord promised the prayer of conversion is the one prayer that he always hears and answers. The prayer for the conversion of sinners. He says, pray the chaplet for that cause, right? So you got Sacred Heart, tepid souls shall become more fervent. Divine mercy, same thing, right? Fervent souls shall rise speedily to perfection, he says. I will bless those places and homes where the image of my Sacred Heart shall be exposed and venerated. All right, so let me just connect you to this devotion too. That's St. Mary Margaret Alacoque. So the Sacred Heart, I know a lot of people may have it in their homes. Maybe your grandmother had it in her home. Some people have the Sacred Heart, the Immaculate Heart images, right? I will bless those homes where this image is exposed, right? Same thing with Divine Mercy. In my book on Divine Mercy, I wrote a whole chapter on the image of Divine Mercy and the protection that comes from it, from car accidents to hurricanes, to assassination attempts. It is just off the charts. It's so interesting to me. And I just sit back as I look at these two great saints, saints devoted to the merciful and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and how the Lord gave the same promises, in essence, to them. Worded differently, you know, phrased differently, different time. But these promises for conversion, for blessings, for the final hour, it's just amazing. I like this one too. The Lord says to St. Margaret Mary, the person who promulgates a devotion to Sacred Heart will have their names eternally written in my heart. Same thing with Divine Mercy, right? We just share that promise. And then we have this other connection. He says, in the excess of the mercy of my heart, he says to St. Margaret Mary, I promise you that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who receive communion on the first Fridays for 9 consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They will not die in my displeasure, nor without receiving the sacraments, and my heart will be their refuge in that last hour. That's the promise of the Sacred Heart devotion. Learn about it. Do a search for it. Today we're honoring St. Margaret Mary. We have the same promise in Divine Mercy. Lord made it super easy in Divine Mercy, right? He gave us this great feast of Divine Mercy. That on that day, if you have a contrite heart, if you receive the Eucharist, right, if you go to confession, all of your sin is gone, and so is all the temporal punishment for your sin. And that means if you were to die that day, straight to heaven, right? That's the day I want to go. I tell the Lord all the time, you know, okay, he might make me wait. I might be in agony for a month and a half before I finally draw my last breath. That's okay. You know, I could be in agony for a year if that's the day he wants to take me. That's the day is so rich in promises. I mean, paradise awaits you. John Paul II, who had great devotion to divine mercy and who overturned the ban on divine mercy, he died on the eve of the very feast that the Lord asked St. Faustina to put, just as he asked St. Margaret Mary to have the Feast of the Sacred Heart put on, to make that an official day, he asked St. Faustina for the same thing. And on the year 2000, when he elevated St. Faustina to the altars, making her a saint, he officially put the Feast of Mercy on the church calendar. How appropriate that he would die on the very eve of divine mercy. Right? It's just, God is so good, so cool, so great. Right? Look at those promises, those two things. The one final thing, and I won't belabor this point anymore. These devotions are both very Eucharistic. They're rooted in the Eucharist, very similar to the promises. Both are Eucharistic. Anyway, he said St. Margaret Mary. We can talk St. Faustina, but let me do this. I'm going to take a short break, and then when we come back, let me take your calls. All right? Or should we go right to the phones, Maggie? Is Romy okay? You want to go? All right, let me go right to the phones. Let me do this. I'm going to take your calls because I'm looking at the clock and I realize we have a little bit of a different schedule today. So if you want to get in and you want to share your devotion, your love of Sacred Heart or Divine Mercy or a saint that has influenced you or changed your life or somebody you don't know, I'll share with you one final saint, kind of a secret saint that I turn to if I have time before the time evaporates here. Died centuries ago, but kind of a cool story. We'll start with Romy, listening in Austin, Texas. Romy, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. How are you, Drew?
I am much better today than I was yesterday. Thank you for asking.
I'm glad to hear it. Well, I have a story about St. Philomena. About 14 or 15 years ago, we were going through a difficult financial situation, and all that anxiety just got to me. And it caused me to end up in the ER one evening. And about a week or so later, you know, we got a bill. And although we had insurance, the copay was enormous.
Oh, yeah.
And at that time, I had just discovered Relevant Radio, and I had been listening to you. And it must have been on the St. Philomena feast day, because you were talking about St. Philomena. And I was so impressed about this new and wonderful saint. So I decided to just start praying to her, and at the same time, I had to write a letter seeking financial assistance with this bill. This was a Catholic hospital, and about 3 or 4 weeks later, I got a letter back from the medical office, I guess, and they had cut my bill at the time. It was like $3,000 to about $300, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And then when I looked at the envelope, the return address said St. Philomena Avenue.
I love it.
And I had never heard of that avenue here
in
Austin. And I became a very devout follower of St. Philomena since then. And she is miraculous.
Yeah, you know, and I'll put a plug in for an earlier conversation. If you're just leaving work or you're just tuning in, in my first hours, about 30 minutes into the conversation, we talked about St. Philomena. I had Father Kolchinski on, or Father Kolzinski. And St. Philomena is one of those wonder workers. She's one. I did my first hour on the Saints of the Impossible. And I'll tell you what, if you are looking for a miracle in your life, St. Philomena is that saint that God has really elevated in our day. I love your story. Romy, thank you for sharing that. I'm sure you're inspiring others too. You know, St. Philomena, too, and I was sharing because I have seen food multiply. And Father Kolchinski, who was on, Maggie, help me get his name right, Kolzinski, I keep going Polish, and I don't even speak Polish. Kolzinski shared how food multiplied. And I think of these signs of multiplication showing how God can get us out of any situation, that medical bill that's overwhelming, that mortgage that we're behind in, that student loan that, you know, is haranguing us for payments, the credit card that continues to get bigger. God can, finances, financial miracles are the smallest of the miracles, I think. I mean, they're the greatest to us because we really need them and there's no way out. Like, oh, how am I going to do this? I only get X in my paycheck at the end of the week. It'll take me a lifetime to pay this off. God can do it in a second. And I love these stories where debt is forgiven, like Romy, where she called upon a particular saint and the saint kind of puts her fingerprint on that answer prayer, letting her know that, yeah, I heard your prayer and it went your way. All right, let's go to Maggie's favorite saint. Our next caller, Carla, is joining us from Oceanside, California. Carla, when I saw you on the screen here, Maggie's been trying to get me introduced to St. Paquita for a long time. Gave me a DVD on her life. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call. So my story is going to be short.
Good.
Before I was born, my mom had a dream with a saint that told her she was going to have a daughter. When I was born, that night, my aunt, my dad's sister, stayed in the hospital with my mom. She had a dream that she was going to have a daughter, and my cousin was born.
Wow.
So before I had my first son, I had a dream with this lady, dark-skinned lady, with this turban on her head, telling me, this is your chance, you're going to have a child. And I had my son. Many years has passed, my mom passed away and everything. One day I go to church and I found this postcard of St. Josephine Baquita. And I'm like, what? I know this lady. This is the lady my mom and my aunt told me before. And she was canonized on October, and I was born in October.
Wow.
Since that time, I have been devoted to her.
Wow.
And I believe it's because I am Dominican and we have African descent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My dad was dark-skinned person, and which means, you know, somehow I come from the Africans, slaves that were colonized in the Dominican Republic. They brought slaves with them.
Yeah. Carly, you know something? It's interesting you share that story because it's my personal theory. It's not based on anything else. But I really believe that the saints choose us. I really do. I think the saints choose us. And I think that saint chose you. And what a crazy story. Margaret, I'm going to keep calling you that. Margaret Mary. I feel like I'm your school teacher.
Yes, sir.
A devotion to St. Paquita. Fill everyone in her backstory, because she was this incredible slave who rose to freedom and much more. But well, go ahead. Why don't you share her story if you remember it?
Her story is incredible because every step of her life, she was constantly surrounded by those who tormented her in various fashions. I mean, she was enslaved. Then, you know, she was purchased by someone to be a slave in Italy. And, you know, yes, her conditions were maybe a little better in some aspect, but the like mental and emotional anguish that these people caused her, and she always stayed so calm and sweet and life-giving towards them. And it's just like the most incredible story of just constantly responding to hate with love. And she eventually converts, I mean, everyone that she's around. It's just amazing.
And I still have that DVD at home that you gave me to watch on her.
You're going to cry like a baby when you watch it. And I'm going to, I can't wait to hear you
talk about
it.
I'll have to do that alone then. Honey, are you out for the night? Great. Okay. You're going for 2 hours? Okay. I'm watching Paquita.
Paquita. It's so good.
That's awesome. She's also the patron saint, if I remember correctly, of those who've been trafficked. So if you have, it's something we should be praying for. Great suffering going on in Sudan. And if you're not familiar with where that is, it's concentrated in the most, it's in the western part of the country in an area called Darfur, area where hundreds of thousands of people have fled because of fighting that's going on, the political turmoil of that country. And you don't see a whole lot of news over there, but St. Josephine Baquita was the first Sudanese ever to be canonized. And not only does she come from Sudan, she also came from Darfur. And as Maggie pointed out, her story is one of being captured by slave traders, but always showing love, always loving God, and how God raised her up and set her free. So maybe you are in the slavery of addiction. Maybe you are in the slavery of lust. Maybe you are in the slavery of something else that has you. You know, turn to her and ask for that freedom. You know, she found freedom from actual slavery. You know, she went on and she did this. Maybe you have trouble forgiving. She forgave her kidnappers. She forgave the people who did this. And there was one famous line. I remember her story where she said, if I were to meet the slave traders who kidnapped me and those who tortured me, because they tortured her and abused her, she says, I would kneel and I'd kiss their hands. She says, if it didn't happen, I would not be a Christian and a religious today. And she's a saint today. And that's always spoke to me in the life of Sister Josephine Paquita, because so often we go through hardships. You know, there's tragedy or accident that takes somebody we love. You get an injury that you have to deal with the rest of your life. There's, you know, wounds and hurts and tragedies that come across our path. God brings good out of all those situations. And to be able to look at it like Paquita did and to say, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, because I know it's part of your divine plan. I know that you're going to bring good out of this. And to say she would kiss the hands of the people who tortured and enslaved her, she saw with the eyes of heaven. And I think that's what we have to do when we're in the storms of life. We have to get above the clouds and look down and be able to see with those eyes of heaven. Let me move along. We're going to take another call. John is in San Diego, California. John, thanks for calling in. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can. So, yeah, go right ahead. I'd love to hear your story.
Great. So, yeah, 1975, I'm going to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I walk into the bookstore, and there's a book that caught my eye, Something Beautiful for God, by Malcolm Muggeridge, who was a devout atheist until he met Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
I was so enthralled that I wrote Mother Teresa, just like putting a message in a bottle and throwing it in the ocean. And lo and behold, 5 weeks later, I get a letter from Mother Teresa to me, asking me to come to, inviting me to come to Calcutta to give my hands in service in your heart and love. God bless you and Teresa.
Wow.
So later that year, I joined the seminary for the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico, and I heard that Mother Teresa was going to be in Philadelphia for the Eucharistic Congress in 1976.
Yep.
And my bishop said, good luck, I don't have any money, and I couldn't ask my parents. So a miracle happened just before the Eucharistic Congress. I didn't have any money. I'm in the seminary in Kentucky, St. Pius X. And my one of my friends got into a car crash, and he said, well, Jack, I'm not going. He was in the hospital. His steering wheel struck and went through his heart, and somehow he lived through it.
Wow.
And he was one of my fellow seminarians, and he gave me everything paid for to go to the Eucharistic Congress.
Praise God.
The first day of the Congress, 10,000 people did what I did, wanting to meet Mother Teresa. So my friend said, hey, have faith. 2 days later, we're walking back to Bellevue Stratford. We have ice cream cones in our hand, and I hear a voice say, there's Mother Teresa, all by her lonesome, standing out in front of the Bellevue Stratford. I ran up to her, grabbed her right hand, kissed it. My other friends came up, and one of them said, we're seminarians. She quickly took his hand and said, oh, you must be holy. You must be holy priests. If you're not going to be holy, forget it right now. Be holy. Then she turned and took my hand and said, give the people only Jesus. Give the people only Jesus.
Amen.
But first, you must have him in your heart. So every day when I get up, there's a picture of Mother Teresa saying, Jesus, come into my heart.
Oh, how beautiful. So did you finish the seminary and you became a priest?
No, I told my bishop after 2 years getting a degree in domestic philosophy and then a year in theology at Holy Trinity Seminary in Dallas, I wanted to go to Ireland. I went to the second International Charismatic Congress, went back to New York, met up with some of my friends, and applied at graduate schools in a school I'd never heard of.
Yep.
Said, well, you've got great grades. We'll give you a grant, a scholarship, a stipend. I walk into my first class, graduate statistics. I look around. There's no guys in the class.
Yep.
It's the College of New Rochelle, which at that time was an all-women's Catholic college, and I was one of two men in the grad school.
All right.
So I went from an all-male to an all-female environment. God has a great sense of humor.
He certainly does. Hey, John, thank you, though. Thanks for, you know, at least exploring your vocation, seeing what God had in store, and what a great story. I love it. I'm going to go back to the phones. We'll grab a few more calls. Just a quick programming note. Maggie, is it tonight and tomorrow? When is Mother Teresa? I missed the movie when it first came out. A lot of people say, a couple of my colleagues here, Patrick Alog, Preston, a lot of people have seen that. And they said, you got to go see this Mother Teresa movie. Is that tonight that it's playing? Or
tomorrow and Thursday.
Tomorrow and Thursday.
It's
select
a two-night event.
So check it out if you want to honor the saints. That's a great thing to talk about. I'm going to jump back to the phones. Before I do, you know, if you're just joining me, today is the day the church celebrates the solemnity of All Saints. And look, the saints are great heroes of our faith, right? Why? Because they lived lives of heroic virtue. That's what you and I are called to do, right? But the thing I'm struck about, a lot of these saints disappear into the mission of the church, and they disappear. They're not like Paquita, or they're not like, you know, the martyrs of Otranto or Mother Teresa. You know, most often the work of a saint goes unnoticed and unseen. And you are called to be that saint. And I just want to put that on your plate today. Now, you can grow in sanctity by being the best mother you can or the best father, right? By performing works of sacrifice and penance, by being charitable, by being kind, by being chaste, by living your vocation. Saints aren't celebrities. You know, those saints who capture the attention of the world, you know, they can become renowned. And if God wills that for you, praise God. In heaven, you're going to know the impact of those sacrifices and that life of heroic virtue that you lived. And we'll know the profound impact of those hidden saints in our lives. I think the saints are always interceding for us. You know, here on earth, you know, you have a trial, call upon the saints, whether it's Mother Teresa or Saint Philomena or whoever that saint is. Today you live among saints, right? You brush shoulders with saints, you know? I think saints know saints. And the work of saints are not completed with their death. We think, okay, they're dead now. No, saints know better than most Christians that life here in this world is just, it's not an end. We were created to live forever. And like Faustina and like Therese, who promised that their mission would continue on the other side of the veil, I think these saints work even more powerfully. They are connected in perfect love. Their intercession is even greater. So, you know, today, as I only have a few moments left, I want to grab another call or two. I just want to leave you with that. On this great feast of the saints, know their mission continues, right? They are interceding for you, so call upon them, all right? Call upon them in a powerful way and see how God works, all right? John in Chicago, I'll see if I can sneak in. You got to make it quick, though, okay? Hey, John. Oh, we lost John. Let me go to Dr. John in California. Dr. John, good to have you. You got to make it kind of quick, if you could.
Hey, Drew, it's an honor to talk to you. I believe Mother Teresa had met me in a dream, and this was the night before her feast day this year. And all I didn't see her face, but I knew it was her, and she gave me this embrace that was very affirming. And it was the week that I discerned becoming a volunteer medical director for a local life center. So to me, I think that was kind of an affirmation.
Wow, that's great.
That she was praying for me.
Amen to that. Well, thank you for sneaking in and sharing that with us. I appreciate it. It's good to have you here. Can I sneak in Denise? Do I have time, Maggie? I probably don't. Denise is in Chino Hills, California. She's got a Divine Mercy Sacred Heart answer. Denise, go right ahead.
Hi, Drew. I have two stories. One, about 23 years ago, I was facing a deposition where I was being defamed. And as I prayed for the deposition that the truth would be revealed, I suddenly saw the face of the Sacred Heart, oh, wow. And over me, I could feel his blood just cover me.
Good.
And I was just awestruck. And as a result, the case was deemed in my favor.
Amen.
And after that point, I had a great devotion to the Sacred Heart. And then I learned of the Divine Mercy, and I began to pray the Divine Mercy. And one day at a silent retreat, as I was praying again for something very dear to my heart, suddenly, like Maggie, I saw the Sacred Heart beating on the wall next to me, and it stayed there for about 3 minutes.
Oh, beautiful. I got to leave it there, though. I wish I could have heard your whole story. I'm out of time. Kale Clark's coming up. We'll continue looking at the extraordinary lives of these intercessors, the saints.